This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're hoping into orbit and beyond for SLS. And Bob Zimmerman is here to update us on the expectation of SLS launching soon. Bob, I lose track of the dates, but you report that they're testing fueling. What does that mean for the launch of SLS? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. When they tried to launch previously, they had a hydrogen fuel leak, one of many. And they decided they had to scrub the launch, and they decided they were going to, they were going to fix that leak or try to fix that leak on the launch pad and then do a fueling test, a tank test, to see if they fixed it. And so they did that this week, middle of this week. They did a fueling test. They basically, it's kind of like a dress rehearsal countdown, but it's not a complete countdown. And they fueled the rocket, and they completed the test. And they say they completed all their objectives. I should point out that that same place leaked again, hydrogen. And they adjusted their fueling procedures, and they got it within what they say are the right tolerances, whatever that means. And so NASA says it's going to review everything, and then over the next coming weekend, they will make a decision about when they will launch. Well, the decision really isn't theirs. NASA wants to launch on September 27th, next week. The problem is that it's on the launch pad, the rocket, which of course means, sure, why can't you launch on the 27th of September? Well, the problem is that the batteries that run the flight termination system, that's the system that the range officer uses to destroy the rocket should it fly out of control. Those batteries, their charge capacity hasn't been checked now, and they have a time limit. They're only supposed to leave them unchecked, untested for 20 days. Well, range gave them a 5-day waiver, 25 days, to try to do their last launch. But if they try to launch on September 27th, those batteries will have been untested for 42 days, more than twice their normal limit, which means we will be launching an untested rocket, one of the biggest ever made, with an unreliable flight termination system, if NASA gets to launch on September 27th. That is not only questionable, it's probably downright criminal if the range waivers this and allows the launch to take place, because it is launching from Florida, and if it goes out of control, there's a lot of habitable places in Florida, and this rocket's big. It's not unusual for a first launch to fail, and so it seems to me that it's almost certain that the range is not going to give NASA permission to launch on the 27th, which means they got to roll the rocket back to the vehicle assembly building, check the batteries, and then roll it back, and that's probably going to take them anywhere from 2 weeks to a month. So we won't be launching this, I think, till late October, if at the earliest.
November. Musk says super heavy Starship November. Do you believe it?
Let's just say that this is a bright light on the dismal SLS story. This is Musk and SpaceX trying to build its own heavy lift comparable rocket called Super Heavy, that's the first stage, and Starship, that's the upper stage, both intended to be reusable, both actually more powerful than SLS, supposed to be very, very cheap. They've been developing the first prototype for the first orbital launch. That's not the first prototype, but the first ones that will do an orbital launch. They've been prepping those and doing engine tests over the last few weeks. Well, Musk gave out a tweet this week stating that they are hoping they will launch later next month, that's October, but November, quote, November seems highly likely. More important, Musk pointed out that, quote, we will have two boosters and ships ready for orbital flight by then with a full staff production at roughly one every 2 months, close quotes. In other words, this is what's very different from SLS. SpaceX is not building a rocket to test. It is building an assembly line for its rocket so that it can test them. These are all prototypes at this point. It can test them, fly them, make changes, fly again. If something fails so bad it can't be reflown, so what? They roll out the next assembly line item, make some changes, and fly it. And they'll be flying, as he says, roughly once every 2 months. This contrasts with SLS, because if it does launch, when it does launch, if it should fail, which is not out of the ordinary with an untested rocket, NASA has no backup. They are planning to make the manned launch on the next flight. But if it fails, they have no way to, they have to, it's going to be years of delay to get another rocket prepared to do another unmanned test flight. And so this just contrasts between how private enterprise does something and how government does something. And it's why we should stop relying on government to build anything.
Commercial space. If the story is confirmed, Saudi Arabia is spending big money to Axiom to SpaceX. How does it work, Bob?
This is as yet an unconfirmed story from Reuters. Everything is anonymous, so it might not be so, but it's sure, I think it's very likely. This is one of those stories that doesn't carry the kind of controversy, so it's probably true. Saudi Arabia has purchased, according to this story, two seats on a Dragon capsule for an Axiom mission to ISS. In other words, they're going to put two passengers on an Axiom flight to ISS using a Dragon capsule, which happens to be the only American capsule available that they can higher right now because Starliner isn't built yet. And we don't know the amounts. We don't have any other details. NASA had announced recently that it has two available opportunities for private missions to go to ISS. They're essentially telling us that the docking ports will be available twice in the next year or so. And so they're offering those locations. And this might tie into the Saudi Arabia story. But yep, Saudi Arabia is buying. This is the new colonial movement, John, except they're using American private enterprise to make it happen.
Private space stations. There may be five, maybe more. One of them is the Starlab private space station NanoRacks is building, but it needs a designer. What is the decision, Bob?
Yes, NanoRacks, which is its sub-company, is called Voyager, is building Starlab. It's got a NASA contract, a development contract. It's one of the five private commercial space stations that the U.S. is now has companies building. It has signed Hilton Hotels to be the designer of the hotel suites on this private commercial space station. I find this really amusing because if those who remember the movie 2001, made in the late 60s, predicting what it would be like to go to space in 2001, 20 years ago, they showed that Hilton Hotels would be designing and building the hotel space rooms in the space station. And so here we have Hilton actually doing it, John. It's really cool. And some of this is a publicity because Hilton is really not a specialist in building space stations, it's hotels. So we're talking about the superficial interior of the station, not so much the station itself.
Now we come to the Roadrunner Coyote part of the commercial space. It's an outfit called Spin Launch, and it's raised money to do what? What is Spin Launch?
I posted this picture before, but I got on Behind the Black a great image of Spin Launch's launching system. This is a startup company to put payloads into orbit, but they don't use a rocket. Instead, what they have a vertically mounted centrifuge that spins the payload up to very high speeds and then releases it to go up. Supposedly, it'll also have a rocket for an additional boost to get it into orbit. I have a lot of engineers on Behind the Black who repeatedly tell me this idea ain't going to work. I have no idea if it is or not, but it's really cool to look at their spinner that shoots. They've done a bunch of tests, up to 7-8 tests of this, so they've actually been successfully been able to launch things into the air. They're not getting to orbital heights at this point. It's a lower scale prototype, but nonetheless, they've done tests, and because of that, they've been able to raise $71 million in private investment capital, which brings the total they've raised to $150 million. So there's a lot of investors who have decided to buy into this. If it did work, this would really be a very cheap way to put bulk payloads into orbit, things like oxygen, water, things that the high accelerations would do no harm to. You won't be able to put delicate satellites up this way because the G-forces are so gigantic, but if you could launch on a regular, very fast pace, a lot of small payloads of oxygen or water, very cheaply, this is actually a viable possibility. So
I can't decide whether Roadrunner would launch Coyote, beep, beep, or whether Coyote would attempt to launch Roadrunner, beep, beep. And what would go wrong? But it occurs to me that it's a perfect cartoon opportunity to find out when Spin Launch finally launches. Bob, Roscosmos, are they in the game or out of the game at ISS? I've lost track.
There are two stories we got on Russia here that relate to the Ukraine war, John. So first we'll talk about what Russia said, the head of Russia. With the previous administrator of Roscosmos, Dmitry Rogozin, who was very bellicose and very hostile after the Ukraine war, and even beforehand, in truth, he basically caused a lot of problems and basically lost Russia its entire international launch market. And he threatened, continually threatened to break off relations on ISS. Well, he was fired recently or replaced. And the new guy, Yuri Borisov, has announced that they are going to, Russia is going to remain a partner at ISS through 2024 without any doubt. And they might stay on as late as 2028, he says, assuming the station continues to operate safely. He's leaving a caveat of technical issues. Well, of course, the technical issues are all related to the Russian modules, which are the oldest and have the most problems. But nonetheless, he's basically trying to, I think, ease the tension between the two countries. And so that's an aspect of this. Meanwhile, John, I want to quickly go to this other story. Nova Scotia, they have a spaceport, private spaceport, and they have signed a British rocket company to launch from it. They want to offer full services to satellite companies. And the reason they've gone to a British rocket company is because before they were using a Ukrainian company, and the Ukrainian company, because of the Russian war, has become uncertain. So Russia has hurt a Ukrainian company in this, and so we might see a British company launching from a Nova Scotia spaceport soon, John.
And OneWeb is also a Ukraine story in a fashion, isn't it?
Yes, it is. OneWeb, this is related once again to Borisov. He's trying to ease tensions. Dmitry Rogozin had confiscated 36 OneWeb satellites that they were about to launch from Kazakhstan and refused to do the launch. So OneWeb has shifted all its business to other customers, and one of those customers is India. Its commercial space arm, NSIL, is going to launch 36 satellites, and those satellites have now been delivered to India, and they hope to launch those by the end of the year, as will SpaceX hope to do the same thing. That's more than probably $1 billion worth of profits or income that Russia no longer gets, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going to Mars. We're going to deep space. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.